Welcome back to the podcast. Today, the Volvo XC70, BYD updates their bestsellers, and Dongfeng Huawei partnership. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you how many XPeng P7s rolled off the production line in its first month. Well, welcome to EV News China, the podcast dedicated to the world's biggest EV market. Every day, I bring you headlines, insights, and analysis from the heart of China's booming EV industry and decode how fast-moving developments in the East are shaping the global EV industry. Volvo's launched the XC70 in China. Now, that sits between the XC60 and the 90, and it's built on the SMA, super hybrid architecture. So, the XC70 comes in four trims, retail price starting at 417,000 yuan, that's $57,000 equivalent. For a limited time, Volvo promoting prices starting a lot lower, though, $37,000. Well, drivetrains, two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and a couple of battery sizes as well. You either get 21 or 40 kilowatt hour. On the CLTC cycle, the 21.2 kilowatt hour pack will do 116 kilometres or 72 miles on electric power alone. And the Big Daddy pack, the 40 kilowatt hour pack, will do 212 k's or 131 miles. Combined with the plug-in hybrid system, the vehicle achieves a total driving range of over 1,200 kilometres. So what is that powertrain? Well, pretty common layout, to be honest, in China at the minute with their plug-in hybrids. It's a 1.5-litre turbo hybrid engine paired with electric motors. So the output is either ranging from 234 kilowatts all the way up to 340 kilowatts. That's over 450 horsepower, by the way. The top configuration will do 0 to 62 in 5.28 seconds. The battery will do 0 to 80 in 23 minutes, and you can even get 6 kilowatts out of the thing for vehicle to load. Inside, well, it's a Volvo, and they're sticking to the script. And hey, I'm a Polestar owner, so I'm fully behind that. Nordic-inspired floating cabin layout. Displays include a 15.4-inch central touchscreen, a 12.3-inch digital instrument display cluster, and they've gone for the 92-inch augmented reality head-up display. The system supports four-zone voice recognition, AI-powered trip planning, and wireless Apple CarPlay. Audio is Harman Kardon with 23 speakers and immersive surround quality, they say. Driver assistance, obviously very important. Safety is very big at Volvo, isn't it? 24 onboard sensors, 21 safety and assistance functions, like adaptive cruise, automated parking. The NPA, Intelligent Pilot Assist, is available on selected highways, not everywhere, in Jiangsu, Zhejiang and Shanghai, with wider coverage to be added with software updates. The interesting Volvo software updates are coming thing. They largely fixed it on the EX30, by the way, but there is a group of EX90 owners who are not too happy. Well, they are, I think, happier this week because they're updating the physical computer in the cars to improve those vehicles. However, this is forbidden fruits for now overseas, outside of China, because the XC70, being a plug-in and made in China, is only available in China. Now, last night, BYD added three variants to their second-gen vehicles, the Xin Plus, and they cut prices on existing versions. The three additions include a plug-in hybrid and a couple of BEVs, starting prices of about 78,000 RMB. Three original Xin Plus trims were discontinued. The remaining three each got a 10,000 RMB discount. The second generation vehicles now offer two plug-in hybrid variants. They start at 78,000, 79,000 RMB, and four BEV variants that start a little bit more expensive. Range figures, well, the newly added plug-in hybrid variant will do electric-only range of 130 k's, that's about 80 miles, all electric power. The BEV variants, well, they go up to 510 kilometres or 317 miles on the CLTC cycle. The Xin Plus debuted back in March 2021, and frankly, that's forever ago in the EV market, and that's particularly forever ago in the Chinese EV market. 2021, did a time ever exist? So it debuted then as a plug-in hybrid. Then the BEVs were added a month or two later in 2021. And then this year they introduced the Plus version with smart driving equipment. God's eye see. Sales data, well, the Xin family sold 732,000 units last year, 17% of BYD's annual NEV sales. According to CNEV Post, the family of vehicles sold 62,500 units in August. That's BYD's best-selling lineup. It's 1.21% year-on-year decline, though, and a 16% increase from the previous month in July. Now, let's talk about a new partnership, and we'll see where this is going. This is Chinese state-owned automaker Dongfeng Motor Group and the tech firm Huawei Technologies saying that they will deepen cooperation in the EV sector after a senior-level meeting in Shenzhen this week. Dongfeng Motor Chairman Yang Qin met Huawei founder and CEO Ren Zhengfei to formalise the expanded collaboration. Areas of focus will be in-vehicle software platforms, advanced driver assist systems, and AI-driven applications. The two companies signed an initial agreement last year that provided for EVs made by Dongfeng or under their Dongfeng Voya sub-brand to include the Huawei technology, and that started this year. They opened up a joint innovation lab to serve as the main hub for future work together. Huawei will support Dongfeng in digitizing its business in what they call its value chain. So more integration across R&D, manufacturing, supply chain, marketing, and enterprise functions as well. Greater use of AI in the back end of how those vehicles make their way to market. Now, let's talk a little bit about Li Auto and the Li 6. No, it's the Li i6 in China, isn't it? Electric SUV, and this car looks, I mean, again, this is just bang on family SUV territory. It's a five-seater. It's quite expensive. Starts at 35,000 US equivalent. That's 250,000 RMB. But this vehicle, I mean, it's just a family sports utility vehicle. It looks fantastic. There's something about the roofline of this that looks very futuristic. It is a very sloping roofline, but then as it gets towards the back of the car, it then just kind of cuts off like an MPV would, but the vertical cutoff is much lower because you're not needing all the headroom all the way to the back like an MPV would. This is definitely one of the more stylish, I would say, Chinese EVs. Whether the style fits, you know, your personal preference, I don't know, but it certainly stands out a little more, I would say. The Li i6, starting in a single trim, and yeah, I would say that's 35 grand US equivalent, quite an expensive Chinese EV. They're now showing up at Li Auto stores. Delivery start tomorrow. The i6 arrives less than 2 months after they launched the six-seat Li i8. Well, the i6's starting price is lower than the Li i8's. Buyers who purchase the i6 by the end of October get limited time benefits of 35,000 RMB value. That includes a cash discount, air suspension, an in-car refrigerator, and quiet electric doors. The founder, chairman and CEO Li Xiang said on Weibo yesterday that Li Auto aims for stable monthly deliveries of 6,000 of the i8s and up to 10,000 of the i6s every month by the end of the year, adding that including the Li Mega, which is their electric MPV, utterly bonkers vehicle, overall BEV deliveries will be 18 to 20,000 every single month. The i6 comes standard with a single motor rear-wheel drive powertrain, 250 kilowatts of power, and does 0 to 62 miles an hour, 6.5 seconds. You can get a dual motor all-wheel drive system that'll take exactly 2 seconds off of that 62 dash. The vehicle uses an 87.3 kilowatt hour LFP pack. You won't be surprised to hear everything's LFP in China, about 80% of the market. CLTC range of 447 miles or 720 kilometers. Real world, of course, will be a lot lower. The all-wheel drive variant has a slightly fewer miles of range. The battery supports 5C fast charging, which is always interesting looking at the peak charge rate, but you know, tell us the charge curve, tell us the time 10 to 80. They say that you can add 310 miles in 10 minutes. Now, I'm a big fan of the miles per minute, or is it minutes per mile, metric, but again, this isn't real world. And so, you know, 5C would be about 420, 430, 440 kilowatts peak, but again, all about the charge curve. If a car just hits that peak for a second and then ramps down, well, there's no point advertising that peak charge speed. We won't know until someone charge tests it. The i6 includes the LeAuto Autonomous Driving Max Smart System. That's powered by NVIDIA Drive Thor U chip and LiDAR as well. And so it comes at a time when Li is facing strong competition in the EREV market, and some early sales for the i8, which were perhaps weaker than LeAuto would have wanted. Their core models do remain EREVs, by the way. The Li Mega MPV is selling more and more. They delivered 28,500 vehicles last month in August. So that was down on the year and the third consecutive month of year-on-year contraction. So they'll be bringing some, I think, either deals or really compelling reasons to buy those cars to market pretty soon. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Mazda on the way and Xiaomi in Germany. Stick around. Back in a mo. Welcome back to the podcast. Now let's talk about Mazda and the EZ60 in China, mid-size SUV, either pure electric or range extended setup, six possible configurations. Pricing begins at 120,000 yuan. It's about 16, 17,000 US dollars. This is a really good looking car, this little Mazda EZ60. It's an SUV, because everything's an SUV these days, isn't it? And then, but look, I think styling wise, It's very Mazda, and particularly the front end. That's got that real family face on it, which is, I think, a good thing. Car looks great. But what about what's inside it? Well, the exterior emphasizes efficiency, a closed-off grille, slim lighting, flush handles, streamlined aero. Inside, the tech takes center stage, a 26-inch 5K floating display. Yeah, this thing is huge. Inside the display, absolutely enormous, and it is a portrait. So, sorry, it is a landscape. It's the opposite of what I just said. It's a landscape one, and it's one of those screens that literally starts at the driver's, you know, just by your right hand on the steering wheel. It's a left-hand drive car, and then just goes all the way across to the passenger, which is huge. And then you've got the screens for the wing mirrors as well. Again, this is a $16,000 equivalent car that's packed full of technology and, you know, cameras for wing mirrors and all of that kind of stuff. Massive screen. And on top of that huge screen, as if basically living inside an IMAX wasn't enough, is a 50-inch augmented reality head-up display and even a 100-inch 3D projection option. Seats, heated, ventilated, massaging, of course, 23-speaker system, 19-inch wheels, 21s on option, and buyers can choose from 7 paint finishes. Performance differs by powertrain. Electric version has a 190-kilowatt motor, a 78-kilowatt-hour LFP pack, 600 Ks of range. The hybrid version has a battery pack of 32 kilowatt hours. Still huge by Western standards, but a bit of a little tiddly one by Chinese standards these days at the global new energy, or as Mazda's first new energy vehicle on the global kind of stage, the EZ60. Internationally, we'll call that the CX6E. I know. Come on, Mazda. The CX6E is a big step in how Mazda is going electric. Xiaomi's next in the news. They're strengthening their global EV ambitions with a new R&D center in Munich. It's first outside China. This facility marks the start of their Euro expansion ahead of planned car sales into the region. In 2027, Xiaomi vehicles have drawn huge interest back at home with the YU7 receiving 289,000 orders in the first hour of launch. The SU7 sedan, still strong demand. The Munich hub will focus on vehicle performance, EV tech and design, working with our research institutions to develop smart mobility solutions. Xiaomi's move comes as the Chinese EV makers like XPeng, BYD are moving overseas as growth at home is incredibly difficult. Setting up sales and expansion over here. By establishing an R&D base, Xiaomi signals long-term commitment to collaboration and innovation in Europe. Let's talk a little bit about XPeng expanding into Switzerland and Austria. Their European expansion continues. I mentioned Hungary, Slovenia and Croatia already earlier this week, confirming Switzerland as the next market, launching the G6 and G9, the P7 Plus next year. Sales begin through Hedin Group. Austria follows in October, adopting the same dealership model used in Germany. Sites in Vienna, Salzburg, Graz, and Klagenfurt will lead to a target of 10 outlets by the end of the year and 20 by the end of 2026. German dealers' networks count for 35 locations already. Expansion into Hungary, Slovenia, and Croatia, as I mentioned, managed through a joint venture with Auto Wallace. Full story on yesterday's podcast, maybe the day before. Now, we're talking about XPeng. We'll finish off by talking about the P7. How many of the XPeng P7 have they rolled off the production line in the first 30 days? Well, that would be 10,000 of them. What a milestone in the first month as well. Like, it's less than a month if you technically it's August 27th. And so deliveries now include models equipped with the passenger seat, zero gravity seat as well. The P7, I guess I would describe it as an executive tourer or an executive sedan saloon vehicle. Low slung, really special car. This is tons of performance, not the cheapest, obviously, but the P7 does come in four versions, and they always name them after the kilometres that they'll do. So you've got the 702 version, that is 220,000 yuan, and it does 702 kilometres. And then you've got the 820, which is the 820 Ultra, and that'll do 820 kilometres on CLTC. That's only 240,000 yuan. Then if you add performance or more motors, well, then you've got the 750 version, which is, yeah, you know, 750 kilometres. And you've got the 750 Ultra Wing edition. Now, that Ultra Wing edition, when we first saw it, took everyone's breath away because it uses those electronically controlled scissor wing doors. They've got some sort of sensors in the doors, which means that they don't hit any obstacles, and I think they've got radars or something in the door, so they don't collide with anything or any obstructions when opening those doors. But it's, again, a really striking thing on the wing version of that car. They often advertise it in like bright yellows and stuff like that. So this is a really recognizable car when you see it. Now, because it was first out in 2020 sometime, the original versions of this anyway, now giving it a full old refresh, and I must admit, it did kind of need it. So the old car, say the old 2020, June 2020, was, I think, you know, a good looking EV. But then you look at how they've refreshed it and the front end, kind of a little bit more, ooh, how do we describe it? A bit Dodge Charger Daytona EV-esque. Long bonnet on this. Of course, it's an EV. And then a very sloping roof line to the back as well. Everything just been really tightened up with some nice lines on this redesigned second version. It's called the E29, second generation of this vehicle. Pre-orders opened on 6th of August, and now the first 10,000 have been made. So that big battery, that's the 820-kilometre version, is using a 92.2 kilowatt hour pack from CALB using NMC technology, and that's just the rear motor version. Still, look, that is a 270 kilowatt rear motor. That's absolutely fine in terms of a lot of performance and torque and 0 to 60 times of 5.4 seconds. However, if you add motors on the front axle and then you want all the big performance, you do lose some range. But still, 92 kilowatt hour pack, 820 kilometers, they say, CLTC, of course. Outside, smooth surfaces, careful attention to proportions, they say, mid-mounted electric drive, whatever that means. I mean, the electric drives are on both axles, but yeah, mid-mounted, maybe that's the battery, because the seats are really low in this. They have obviously carved space out of the garage. Of the battery to put the seats down. Porsche called it a foot garage, hence why that word was entering my brain slightly earlier, because they kind of carved out space in the battery pack beneath. But I think they've done this the same because the seats are really, really low. But again, inside, Nappa leather, microfiber, ventilated massage seats in a really low driving position as well. All XPeng P7s have the Turing AI chips. 2,250 TOPS, T-O-P-S, of power for their large model-assisted driving. Suspension and braking are optimized. Dual-chamber air suspension, adaptive damping, forged alloys, four-piston Brembos to slow you down. And they call a 5C AI-enabled battery. I have no idea what an AI-enabled battery is. Maybe you ask it to summarize a website article or, I don't know, why is AI in a battery? I mean, use AI to design the thing, but what, is there a computer in it that's running AI all the time? I don't know, maybe, but it does. It's a 5C charge rate. They gave the 10 to 80 time. That's 11.3 minutes. The smaller battery, which is a 75 kilowatt hour pack from Eve Energy. Actually, it's an LFP pack. That's on the 702 version, right? That still does 10 to 80 in 12 minutes, smaller pack, of course, but the big pack, 92.2 kilowatt hours, that one is 11.3 minutes, peak rate of 486 kilowatts. Peak rates are interesting, but it's all about the curve, isn't it? How long is that 10 to 80? And sometimes, you know, miles per minute, because you want efficient vehicles as well, which can flatter that figure. But wow, what a vehicle, really special. Everyone's buying SUVs and this turns up and it just keeps on selling and doing really well. This refreshed version, they've done pretty much consistently 60,000 units of these a year for the last 4 years. The first year was lower because it didn't launch at the beginning of the year. This year has been down, I think, a bit, so definitely need the refresh to give this one a little bit of encouragement. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and the Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Thanks for listening. I'll see you on the next one.